is officially the last Sunday of the summer, or maybe next Sunday is the last summer. Our veggie stand is going to close with a big bang, so if you make, I know you don't want to turn your ovens on, you guys, but maybe you ladies will. If you make something this week, make a half a dozen cookies, especially chocolate chip cookies. They go quick. Or brownies, they go great. Or bread, they really go. I won't tell you that story about the gal who made. There was four big, thick brownies with chocolate covering on that big. And she kept going over to the table, and I didn't choose a visitor or a visitor there. And finally I went over and said, what are you thinking about? She says, I'm looking at those brownies. They were to die for. She says, I'm looking at those brownies, but I don't need them. And I said, you know what? They tell you don't drive too fast. Don't take too big a fish. Don't do this. Don't do that. Here, you take these brownies and you enjoy them. Really?
I said, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just take them and enjoy them.
This is your day. And it was like a big wink came off the shoulder. She said, oh, thank you. I don't know if she ate all four brownies in one sitting. I don't know if she was diabetic. I don't know. But she enjoyed those brownies. Anyway, we've had a great season. Thanks to everybody who's helped out with the veggie stand and who donated butter and flour. And our pie lady Joyce made 5, 6, 8 pies every weekend. And, oh, man, it's been fun. And thanks for doing that. All the money that's raised, by the way, goes for local benevolence. If someone's in need, if someone's hurting, we've done a lot of good work with those free will offerings. So thanks for helping out. So next week, last weekend for veggie stand. Also last Saturday evening service. It's going to be a great service because Culper's, Audrey Culper's great-granddaughter is being baptized. Yeah. And you know that baby's name? Audrey, stand up.
Great-granddaughter.
So that's going to be a special day, right, Audrey? Yeah. I told Audrey she better leave a little bit of the will for that little granddaughter. Good. Otherwise, I think... remember September 8th, God's work, our hands, make the world a better place. Start thinking about what you want to do over and above what you usually do on that day, okay? And if you can record it or take a picture of it or something, we're going to make a bulletin board. You know what I'm talking about? I'm asking everybody to do one nice thing over and above what you usually do, okay? That way, if there's 180 of us that worship on Sunday morning, there's 180 of us that do one nice thing over and above. I mean, that's 180 things in one day that we've made the world a better place. We wouldn't have just taken up space. You got the hot seat. So, anyway, it's nice to have you here. It's important that we take time to say our prayers and thank God for his many blessings. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your Spirit that has moved through the eons of time to touch our lives, shake our hearts, and move us to come and say a prayer, sing a hymn, gather with fellow believers. And so send your Spirit this morning that we can come alive again and be the kind of a person you'd want us to be, and enjoy your creation that you have so blessed us with. So send your Spirit this morning, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 631, We'll Rise During the Singing of the Last Verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us be honest with ourselves, our God, and with each other, and confess our sins in order that we might receive the forgiveness of God and experience the joy of the community of Christ. Let us confess. God, we sin by what we think, what we say, and what we do. We continue to pull away from you, even though you love us with an everlasting love. Today in worship, we recognize our failures and our weaknesses. We confess our sins of omission and commission. We confess we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. We come to you as brothers and sisters in Christ who need your power and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I speak His word to you. Jesus says, I belong to you as you belong to me. I am one of you. I died and rose for you so your sin might be forgiven. I feel what you feel, and I live through your life. I forgive your wrongs, and with that forgiveness, give you power to change your condition as you live lives which are pleasing in my sight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in praying the prayer of the day. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9b through 14. The Lord promises those who have returned from exile that where justice and mercy prevail, the ruins will be rebuilt and light will rise in the darkness. It is a day for a new beginning. The reading. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride up on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our psalm today is 103, verses 1 through 8. The refrain, "The Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love," will be repeated after the bold R. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide mitigation and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love. Here end the readings. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 14th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 13th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath, offering her a new beginning for her life. When challenged by a narrow reading of the Sabbath command, Jesus responds by expanding Sabbath work to include setting people free from bondage. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. The leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. The entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon, hymn 656. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So one Sabbath day, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. A woman is there who's bent over. Jim Lang's here today, so I got to tell him. I looked at what disease this might be up on the computer. It's called ankylosing spondylitis, or Marie Strumpel disease. What happens is your spine starts fusing together and it bends and bends and bends. So this woman, 18 years she's bent over and can't come up. The big thing here is that she comes to worship on Sunday morning. Now I'm thinking, being bent over like that, it's got to be tough. I mean, it's got to be tough for her to come out in public. But she worships. She worships. She honors God. This is faith, I think. This is faith. So we have this woman, 18 years bent over, coming to worship. If you have any compassion at all, we would have compassion on this gal. We take our health for granted, although I look out at all you gray hairs and see you don't take your health so much for granted anymore, because you're always looking over your shoulder and wondering when it's going to catch up to you. Anyway, she's disabled. And you have to admire her, because she didn't allow her physical condition to keep her from worshiping God, keep her from thanking God, keep her from drawing close to God. And so we notice how this lesson begins. One Sabbath day, Jesus is teaching in a synagogue. A woman is there who was severely disabled. Her body was all bent over. So she had courage to come out with a condition like she had. Even more important, she hadn't allowed her physical condition to impair her relationship with God. I've got a friend up in Winnipeg who doesn't go to church, but he says he's spiritual. And he's been tapping into our website on Monday mornings, because our friend Steve Long puts it on the website. So he taps into the website, sits at his kitchen table, round thing, it's plastic-covered chairs, you know. He'll say, I pour a cup of coffee, I turn it on, I listen to the choir or to the bells. I'll light a cigarette and listen to the word. And I don't have to put in any offering. And he teases me. But the guy's lost. He's wondering where he's going in life, wondering what he should do now that he's retired, searching for meaning and purpose, but he enjoys our worship services on Monday morning. But this woman, because she was in church, received a very special blessing from God. I know I'm preaching to the choir about being in worship, because, you believe in worship or you wouldn't be here. I mean, we're packed from back row to front row and people in the front. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to be, unless your wife, well, we won't go there. You might be. I was reading about Jamestown, the first permanent settlement in the New World. They were religious, and they had rules about worshiping. In fact, they worshiped 2 hours every day, and on Sunday, they worshiped 5 hours. And it was a sin, a terrible sin, to miss worship. And if they missed worship on a Sunday, you went without food, without their rations. If you missed Sunday worship twice, you got publicly whipped. And if you missed worship 3 times, you would have to be put in stocks every day for 6 months. Now, historians haven't recorded anybody ever being put in stocks for 6 months, but I started thinking on our last Sunday of September at our annual meeting, maybe I'll write a resolution saying that this is what should happen. I bet you our attendance would really improve, don't you think, Maynard? No. Yeah, okay, forget about it. Not one of my better ideas. The point is, when we gather for worship, God is waiting here to bless you. God is waiting here to give you something, to pick you up, to pat you on the back, to forgive you, to say an attaboy or an attagirl, way to go, to say I love you, to say you're okay. And this congregation, as we worship, hopefully it's not too painful for you, you know, and hopefully you get something out of it. So So worship is important. Worship is what Christians do. And the point of this lesson is that Jesus can heal those who are bowed down, whatever the reason, either physically or mentally and spiritually. I mean, there's people who come through these doors and they're carrying heavy burdens. It doesn't have to be that they're bowed down, but they're bowed down because of something weighing on them. This woman, whatever origin of the spirit of her infirmity, was in worship on the Sabbath day. And Dr. Luke, that's what he was as a physician, tells this story about Jesus saying, "Get well." And immediately she sits, she straightens right up and praises God. Jesus could do that for anyone carrying heavy burdens, huh? There's some burden that's weighing you down. Some secret sin or sense of inferiority or some smothering anxiety, some lingering illness. This lesson reminds us, give it to Jesus. Say, "I can't carry it anymore. I've done all I can, but I got to share it with you." And he says, "I'll help carry the load." You don't have to carry it alone. Jesus is here to heal and make us whole. That's this message that has come down through time to you and me in the 21st century. Fortunately, this wonderful story ends because there's another character in this lesson. And this character is a guy with a different kind of spirit that's weighing him down. It's a spirit of legalism. It's a spirit of condemnation. Immediately after reading this, after reading that this woman straightened up and praised God, Luke tells us about this second character. This is his words. He says, "Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, 'There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath.'" And I'm thinking, oh man, where do people like this come from? I mean, they throw cold water on whatever good comes their way, huh? For some reason, they seem to be drawn to the church or to the synagogue. My son, he's got one of his best friends, has recorded every episode from The Simpsons. And my son will send me a clip now and again, and he sent me one a while ago. Homer Simpson was talking to his neighbors. His neighbors had been gone for the weekend, so Homer wanders over and says, "Well, where have you been this weekend?" They said, "We went to a church retreat. We were learning how to become more judgmental." And my son likes to give me a once in a while, okay? This man who is criticizing Jesus must have attended one of those camps. I mean, he's the leader of the synagogue. God had done a great work in his presence, healed this woman. Wouldn't you think I'd be jumping up and down with joy that someone had been healed and made whole? But no. And someone has noted that this is the last time that Jesus ever went to the temple, huh? To the synagogue. For one thing, from this point on, he was a controversial figure. People had started following him, and the rabbis who were losing their position and losing their power started pouring it on Jesus, and so he was probably not invited to the pulpit anymore. But maybe something else is happening here. You have to wonder if the legalism of this synagogue leader drove Jesus away. If so, he wouldn't be the first person or the last person to have been driven away by a religious assembly that was carrying a legalistic spirit. Huh? Reminds me of a story of a knight who returned to the castle at twilight. He was riding in on his horse and he was all beaten up. His armor was dented, his helmet was skewed, his face was bloody, his horse was limping, the saddle sat kind of off-center, off-kilter, on the horse. Lord of the castle sees this knight coming. He runs down and asks him, "What hath befallen you, sir knight?" Straightening himself up as best he could, the bedraggled knight says, "Oh, sire, I've been laboring in your service, robbing and burning and pillaging to the people of the west." The king of the castle says, "But I have no enemies of the people in the west." And the knight thinks and he says, "Well, I think you do now." I'm convinced that many blessed saints who have this spirit of legalism and condemnation have created enemies for God without them knowing it. Maybe you can understand why people are like that, but I have a tough time doing so. This man was a leader in the synagogue. He condemned Jesus for helping someone on the Sabbath. This is a good warning for me as a pastor. Remember a bulletin blooper I saw a few years ago? It said something like, "Please welcome Pastor Don, a caring individual who loves hurting people." Now, does he love hurting people or does he love people who are hurting? I've known people of both persuasions. But lay people also can be of both persuasions. In fact, a professor of mine was telling him, when he was a young pastor, he was working on his doctorate, serving a small country church while he was going to seminary. And this small country church was 110 years old. The longest any pastor had stayed was 2.5 years. To make matters worse, the congregation had suffered a real ugly split, and the last pastor had taken half the congregation and marched out. And the memory of those who remained was the sound of the door slamming on their behinds as they walked out. And these were people who stayed, were hurt and angry and nursing old wounds. Well, this young pastor, studying to be a professor, getting his doctorate in theology, figured he could go in there, give some enthusiasm, help this congregation work out. But this congregation, they kept him and his wife at a distance. He said that they raised passive aggressiveness to a new height. And they treated pretty much this pastor and his wife with hostility, but hidden hostility. He says he learned a lot when he was there. He says, this is what he said. He said, "When you're a pastor, you receive a lot of other people's mail." And what he meant was, he was getting the results of past pastors, especially this last one, who had split the congregation. There, the disappointment was being poured on him and his wife. He says it was horrible. At school, he was trying to earn some acceptance and respect. And at work in his small church, he wasn't received at all. He said one Sunday, he and his wife were so disappointed, they went to their home in front of the picture window, field overlooking. They had to hold each other crying, asking each other, "Is God here or not? Is God here or not?" That's the situation he found himself. And I can understand if it's true that Jesus never taught in the synagogue again after his encounter with this particular synagogue leader. And we can understand why some people who have been hurt by the church never darken the door again. That's not what the church is about, you see. But it's sad because this is a place where people still come today for healing and for acceptance. This is a place where people come today to find help for their hurting hearts. This is a place where people with disabilities can find an ability or a place to heal. And so maybe the question we should think is our church a place where people can encounter the Spirit of Jesus? Or are they going to encounter the spirit of the synagogue and the synagogue leader? The answer to that question is up to each one of us, every one of us. Will people who gather here discover a spirit that heals, or one that hurts and separates? Let's make certain that we're a church family that always seeks to heal, that everybody is somebody, that everybody is welcome. Church family that surrounds people with the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. I think that's what this lesson is about. Amen. May God's peace and love be always with us. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn 840. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let's join in the offertory prayer on the top of page 4. Let us pray. In loving response to your gracious blessing, we come with the offering of our time and treasure. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. Confident in God's compassionate rule and enduring love, let us lift up the needs of the church, the world, and all of creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Deliver your church from all that binds and limits. Free us to boldly proclaim the gospel and seek the truth. Lord, in your mercy, bestow on your creation ample rain and abundant harvest. Cultivate in us a fresh respect and a deep humility for the environment. Lord, in your mercy, uphold the oppressed, liberate those in bondage, and strengthen those who labor under the yoke of a repressive government. Free us to work for justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Rescue all in harm's way. Sustain the poor and the hungry. Heal those who are ill or afflicted, especially those in our lives and in our congregation who need your healing touch. Free us to be your hands of love and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Save us from lives and schedules filled with too much activity. Free us to be a Sabbath people who take time for worship, rest, and renewal. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our many blessings. We thank you for our family and friends, this place in which we live. We celebrate clean air and clean water, and we take for granted our houses and the food on our tables. We thank you for neighbors who care for one another. Thank you for this church, for your Son Jesus who taught us how to live. And so walk with us this day. We pray you might watch over our loved ones, wherever they find themselves this day. Keep them in your care and let them know of your unending love for them. Gather us at the last with all your saints and bring us in awe and joy to your unshakable kingdom, the heavenly Jerusalem. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, hear the cries of your people and answer us according to your steadfast love through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. You are the forgiven people of God.
We will celebrate forgiveness in the week ahead. Acts of kindness, times of listening concern, and deeds of generosity.
Go in peace. You are the forgiven people of God.
We have heard the good news. We will share the good news.
God be with you. Go and serve in Jesus' name. Amen. A closing hymn is 324, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
The cross of Christ, thy glory.